WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
At the end of 2019, singer-songwriter Langhorne Slim was not in a great place. He was battling both a clinical anxiety disorder and prescription drug abuse, and struggling to do the one thing he does best, write songs. After checking into a program and getting clean, Langhorne Slim, born Sean Skolnick, emerged into a world quite different than the one he had known before entering treatment, a world on pause due to the coronavirus pandemic. But Langhorne found the silver lining in his new situation. Social distancing had given him a new opportunity to focus on his writing music, and right he did, attempting to pen a new song every day and posting a flurry of new tunes on his Instagram. Langhorne culled together the best of these songs in his seventh full-length album, Strawberry Mansion. You just heard the title track as the intro music to this segment. The new effort from Langhorne speaks specifically to this moment of uncertainty and of loneliness, like in this track called Summer Days.
Got some money in my pocket, got nowhere to go. Didn't make my bed this morning, didn't even come close. There's a woman who adores me, she's so far away. Another summer's coming towards me, gonna be some lonely summer days.
The album also addresses Langhorne's struggles with mental health and speaks to the various crises of our moment, climate change, corruption, and greed, like in this track, Blood on Your Lips.
What used to matter doesn't matter anymore. People get together, help the sick and poor. You can kiss the killer, but it won't buy you bliss. And when you do, you're gonna get blood on your lips. Blood on your lips.
But in Langhorne Slim style, the songs on Strawberry Mansion are toe-tapping, head-bopping tunes, even when they're dealing with serious topics. Strawberry Mansion drops on January 29th, and here for an All of It listening party is Langhorne Slim. Welcome to the show.
Allison, how are you?
I'm well. Langhorne, how are you?
It's such a terrible question, isn't it?
These
days, it's just a terrible question. I don't know how much time on the radio we have. I do want to say, from Insurrection, you know, I'm on the phone waiting for us to chat, and I really appreciate the chat. Insurrections, Pandemic, Spotted Snow Owls, A Meditation. I mean, you guys are covering all bases. It's really quite impressive.
That's why the show's called All of It. We get to all
there
of
you
it.
Go.
But we love
there you
music
go.
Very much, so we're very happy
all
to have you on the show.
Lot.
All of it is a lot. Tell me about, I hate when people say that in question. I want to know more about the Strawberry Mansion. It's the neighborhood where your grandfathers grew up. What was that neighborhood like?
Well, in my mind, it's a mythical, mystical land where my grandpa, Sidney and Jack, both my grandfathers, grew up in. It's also a neighborhood in Philly that John Coltrane lived in for some time. Larry Fiennes of the Three Stooges. So it's a place of that many legends have come out of, some whom are well known to many, and some who are my grandfathers and are very well known to me. But yeah, they used to tell my brother John and I stories about this place and their friends, and their friends had names like Curly and Whistle and all these kinds of cool names. And it just reminded me of like urban Huck Finn meets Oliver Twist kids. Like my grandfathers, I think of them as like Jewish Buddhas of Philadelphia. They were the most incredible. I don't thank them because they're not here physically anymore. They were that in my life, and they just live on in my heart. But they were the most intelligent dudes that I've ever known, and I don't think either of them passed through high school. They just had like a street smarts from when they were kids that I think made them super, super tough and super sweet. And I've admired that ability, particularly for us boys, you know, as we turn into men. And I'm grateful for all my grandparents, but my grandfather certainly always. What can I say about it? You know, they were just they were my guys, and so it's not the first time that I've paid tribute to them in song and on a record. This one feels, from some of the stuff that you were talking about in that intro, me kind of coming back to myself, starting to recognize myself again, starting to smile on my face and in my heart again, and having this new lease on life and music. I do feel like those guys are, they got my back and are by my side. So it feels particularly sweet to have this tribute to those men.
And I want to thank you because you put a bunch of words together that I can't imagine I would have heard this morning. Jewish Buddhas of Philadelphia. It's just thanks.
Yeah, I put lots of words together, depending on who I'm talking to. Too many. But yeah, they were wise, like an ancient wisdom, you know, and that's what I connect to. That's what I can feel. That's why I love music and art. You know, book smarts and academic smarts, I can respect that at times, but I don't connect to that as much as I do. I think, it's just why I'm moved by, you know, the roots of all kinds of music, blues and rhythm and blues and hip hop and punk rock. Like, it's just the raw animal, real darn deal. And they were like OG punk rockers, those two guys. You know, they kept it real. And that's all that we can aim to do, is to be kind, to stand up for ourselves, but to love ourselves enough to love each other. And my goodness, I think we could always use more of that in this world. And in my lifetime, never as much as we could use it to, you know, right here, right now.
Amen to that. My guest is Langhorne Slim. The new album is called Strawberry Mansion. So the album deals with your mental health, your sobriety. When did you realize that it was time to check into a program and get some help?
Well, I tried to avoid that at all costs. There's a moment of where you're sort of confronted with the reality of the situation. It's not my first time getting sober. I sure hope it's the last time. But I did, on my own, kind of lock myself in a room about 7.5 years ago and stop drinking and drugging. And all that stuff has been a part of my life for a lot of my life. In that situation, I didn't connect with a community of other people who live a life to try to stay sober and to try to live an expansive, let's say, spiritual life. And so I wasn't really picking up tools on how to deal with this place. And life does what life does, and for me, it was nothing special or out of the ordinary. There was just like some gnarly stuff going on in a relationship. You know what I learned, Allison, is that I have put a lot of my, how do I do this? I put a lot of my, my identity, how I feel about myself, into how well a record is doing, if the theater is sold out, how a relationship is going. And I don't love saying that on the radio, but I know a lot of people understand what I'm talking about. And a lot of those things, they weren't going the way that old Shawnee Boy wanted them to go. And I started just swimming against the tide, and left to my own devices, I just started listening to the fear and the negativity in my own mind over the alternatives to that. And I wound up anxiety, some depression has been with me as long as I could remember. And just without learning some more tools to deal with that in more natural ways, I'm putting a lot of words together again, I know. I went to a bearded professional who gave me some options of medications, and none of those medications are good for a guy like me. Mm-hmm. And I guess I played with fire and I got burnt. So that led to relapse and to, you know, just to losing myself. I couldn't finish musical projects. I wasn't writing music. I felt very distant from myself, from love. I'll just say that. I felt like I was, in retrospect, like I was betraying that divine love for my family, for my real friends, for art, for music, and I just felt disconnected. And it got to a point that I needed to get real about it, call my mama, call some other people, and seek some professional help, which thank goodness I did. And I did right before the world completely changed for everybody. And my gosh, I'm really fortunate for that, because I know that this time is extraordinarily difficult for everybody, even if you don't, you know, identify with those same struggles. There's a lot of anxiety and depression out there these days.
And you have been, in your lyrics, very clear about it and very vulnerable when you write about it. You wrote one song called Panic Attack. Apparently, were you actually having a panic attack when you wrote the song?
Indeed. This was a suggestion. I started seeing a therapist about a year ago as well. And she laid a suggestion on me that caused me anxiety, just the mere mention of the suggestion, which was, when this anxiety kind of manifests into a physical freak out, which it can for me and for many others, you know, it's the thought isn't too far from the feeling and it sort of takes over. And she said, okay, well, when that happens, do you ever just pick up your guitar? And I said, I don't think I do. And she said, well, why don't you just do that and see what happens? And I said, because, one, I don't like homework assignments. I'm still a stubborn boy. I'm working on it. And two, the guitar, unfortunately, in those moments, it doesn't feel like my friend. There's fear around it. It's sort of like giving me a stink eye from the corner. And I don't know. I don't know that I, if I have or if I haven't done that in the past, but it certainly isn't my go-to. And she made a beautiful suggestion, which I wrote down and put in my wallet or my pocket or something. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see what happens if I do this. But like, just this reminder, of course, I already know it. We already know it in our own lives. But to do this thing that you love without any expectation, with just the only intention is to pick up an instrument and to make music. It doesn't have to be a song. You don't have to play it for anybody. You don't have to think it's good, bad, indifferent. Just reach out to that thing that connects you to a higher energy. And that song was written right at the time that, I hadn't really written for a year, year and a half, hardly anything. And the songs were just pouring through in the beginning of the quarantine, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And all the words and the melody and everything were there. And I got on the wave, thankfully, and just wrote it.
Well, let's take a listen. This is Panic Attack by Langhorne Slim.
I called a healthcare professional, want to speak to someone confidentially. Don't know just how I'm feeling, but I'm feeling feelings exponentially. Calm boy started asking questions, said, ma'am, I was hoping for advice. I'm feeling lots of feelings, not a single one of them feels nice.
That was Panic Attack from Langhorne Slim's new album, Strawberry Mansion. We'll hear more music and more words put together from Langhorne Slim after the break. This is All of It. My guest this hour is Langhorne Slim. His new album, Strawberry Mansion, comes out on January 29th. So, Langhorne, I understand you started writing a song a day, no matter what came out. What did this do for you creatively?
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Of course.
Okay. I was just wondering how many guys or gals put the Elvis Costello song Allison on mixtapes for you back in the day. Is that inappropriate to ask?
No, on the regular. On the regular.
In fact, I figured.
You know, when I first got to New York, I was a DJ on the weekends to make ends meet because I made about $1 a day at MTV. And I wanted to use my radio name to be Allison Costello, but they wouldn't let me because I thought it was just the greatest thing ever.
You might have gotten away with one, though, because you'd still be getting that. Maybe you still do get it all the time. I don't know.
Occasionally.
Occasionally, yes. I'd imagine so. Well, it's a good song, so that's good.
Yeah, imagine if it was a bad song. Imagine if your name were associated with a terrible song.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know, I haven't met many Bernadettes, but that Bernadette song, big tune. So I'm waiting to. I think I haven't met the one yet, Allison, because mm-hmm. it's somebody named Bernadette. I'm just not hanging out in the right place. Of course, I'm hanging out at home, so it's difficult to meet any Bernadettes. But I'm just waiting. If there's any Bernadettes out there, you know, hit me up.
Slide into this man's DMs if your name's Bernadette. How about I go back to our interview?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
What did writing one song a day do for you?
Okay, so the writing one song a day, my friend Mike Cracker Farm is like one of my oldest friends in the world. We knew each other, met back in New York where I lived and started my band years ago. Now he's out in Nashville where I am. And he knew exactly what I was going through. He had driven me to treatment and picked me up. Mm-hmm. And he was the only person that I was seeing outside of my house during the quarantine. So I think I might be putting more meaning onto it than it was. I don't really know. He sort of said it in passing, and he knew that it would kind of annoy me to be like, yo, man, why don't you just write a song a day? What's the big deal? But now when I think of it, now that it sort of happened, and I didn't write one every single day, but a lot in a short amount of time, I think, well, at least what it provided was a further bond with a brother of mine who I've known for 20 years, has been my friend through every up and down and left and right that I've been through. And the one friend who, like I said, I was seeing during this time outside of my home. And so every time I would write a song, I would go over there and we'd go in his little studio and he would film it. And I got to post that song. Which, amazingly, social media, for once, was like a healthy thing where I could write, I could catch, release, and move on and maintain some kind of connection with the beautiful brothers and sisters that follow what I do. And so I think that was the inspiration, which I guess started with the suggestion or the taunt, but led to led to a reality of it happening, and just looking forward to the time that we would spend together. And then it was just exciting. It was exciting that so many songs were coming. I'm very superstitious, though a dear friend of mine once told me, the worst kind of luck is believing in superstition, which I think is something to that. But as soon as all of these songs were coming, after every single one I would write, I would think that would probably be the last one. So I was trying to just let whatever kind of creative thing that was going on, to kind of let that live in the ether, and not overthink it, and just follow where it led.
Well, let's take a listen to one of the tracks that you wrote. This one is called, let me see, which one am I going to pick? I'm going to pick No Right Way. Let's take a listen to No Right Way from Langhorne Slim.
Human kind is in despair, pulling out all its hair. Sure as no one feels like they belong, there ain't no right way to do wrong.
From Langhorne Slim, from his new album Strawberry Mansion. Was there something about this period during, you know, the pandemic? Some people have found themselves to be incredibly creative. Some people have been stymied. Some people have had some weird combination of the two. How has it been for you?
It's been one of the most creative times of my life. I have friends, and I've heard from other people that hasn't been the case, and I think that there's been a lot of pressure people have put on themselves for that, and I just think that things come when they come. Sometimes they come when you least expect it. I certainly wasn't expecting songs to be pouring out over this time, and I think for me it was certainly, it was getting sober, it was coming home, it was a forced slowing down and simplification of my life that I left to my own devices. I'm quite sure I wouldn't have done that. And I think that there's just, with the tornado that hit Nashville, leading 10 days or 2 weeks later into a pandemic, the political situation in this country, there's so much chaos and noise in the world. The internet, in case you haven't noticed, is a little bit loud and full of a lot of trickery. There's a lot of trickery out there as far as I can see, and I tried not to buy a ticket for every flaming hamster wheel that I could see. And I've boarded lots of those flaming hamster wheels in my own life. I'm not sure if that analogy makes any sense, but I know what I mean, I think. I think it was finding some quiet within my own dang self, not having an opportunity to run every time I feel restless or uncomfortable or happy and inspired. So I just was home. And I think I'm doing as much, if not more, work on myself these days. I guess the music is that as well, but that's taken a lot of my energy, and has been feeding me back, as opposed to like diminishing my energy, I suppose. And I think there's something when all those things connected that something broke open and music came out. And if I had just continued running in a fashion that I'm used to, I don't know that we would be on the phone right now. So it's hard to say how these things happen, but I know that, that doing work that I have not wanted to do, and now I find some pleasure in doing, has led to a kinder experience, a gentler experience with my own creativity.
I'm going to put like a nice little bookend on this before we go to the performance that you've been kind enough to send to us. We started talking about your grandfathers at the beginning of the interview. If you sort of cruise around your social media, it seems that you're very close with your grandmother, Ruth.
Ruth A.
And a bonus track that's called Nowhere to Go, you have a lyric that says, "You might be young and you might like to get your kicks, but get the hell off my lawn before you get my grandma sick.
Oh, you know that one. Yeah, that's cool.
What?
That was the first one that I wrote during the pandemic, yeah.
So what is the best piece of advice Ruthie gave you ever?
Allison. Asking the hard-hitting questions now. Gosh, I don't know how to come up with one piece of advice. I think that they just, all of my grandparents, and Ruthie is my last remaining grandparent that's in physical form. I don't know. I don't know, really. I think it's just to, like I was starting with when we started to speak about my grandfathers, there's my grandmothers have that too, which was just a never give up, a toughness, but an open heart, and be kind to each other, be kind to ourselves, and don't take no beep. And I relate to all of that. You got to be tough in this world, I do believe, but not where it makes your heart cold and you turn mean. So I'm working on it, Allison. I'm working on it.
You sent us an exclusive performance of Morning Prayer. Did you know that you wanted to address faith on this record?
I heard somebody say recently that religion is for people who don't want to go to hell. Spirituality is for people who have been there. And that makes some sense to me. I was born a Jewish boy outside of Philadelphia, and I never had a practice of prayer in sort of a daily. My practice of prayer has been through music and through art and connecting with an audience. And I believe in the power of that deeply. During this time, somebody had sent me a prayer that they read every morning. I wanted more of a ritual. I wanted to try it out to see what that revealed. And I found it difficult to feel the words off the page. And so putting it into a song, that helps me dance with whatever that divine kind of energy, at least the best way that I know of it, putting it into song is the line to it.
The new album, Strawberry Mansion, drops on January 29th. Langhorne Slim, thank you for being with us. You were a delight.
You are a delight, Allison. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I've listened to you for a long time, and it's an honor. Thank you so much.
Here's Langhorne Slim with Morning Prayer.
Give me the strength today, offer myself to thee. From this bondage set me free. Help me see the nature of my wrongs. In your grace I will be strong. This old world is full of fear and greed. Love it is the door, faith's the key. From this bondage set me free, offer myself to thee. God, with you I can be whole, if I surrender my control. Though I still wanna run the show, trying to let go. This whole world is full of fear and greed. Love it is the door, faith's the key. Nothing is deserved, no guarantee. And offer myself to thee.
father and brother for a world down on its knee. I pray for thee, for the restless and the wild, for the broken, tame, defiled, for all of us who crave more than we need. I pray for thee.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.